Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Monday, March 20th, 2023. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady with the Drake. Jason Justice filling in for Marco Marquez. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Yeah. A little bit later on the show, we'll talk to Todd Lebo. He'll be with us in the 7 o'clock hour. We're going to talk to Adam Teicher from ESPN. A little before that, we'll get the forecast from Gary Lezak. And then Jared Sutton will be with us in the 9 o'clock hour to review everything that happened in college basketball over the weekend in the NCAA tournament. And now we have the Sweet 16. And no Kansas, no Missouri, but Kansas State advances. And we'll just start right there. K-State beats Kentucky 75-69, and this thing has opened wide up for K-State to make it to the Final Four. This thing is, you could not ask for a better opportunity for K-State to go to the Final Four. If we were able to pick the teams or pick the games, starting with the Sweet 16, you know, obviously, the original brackets we all picked are in the trash in the toilet now. But if we repicked this thing this morning, I would definitely have K-State going to the Final Four. In the East, Purdue is gone, and FAU advances after a narrow escape against Memphis in the first round, so FAU gets to the Sweet 16 in the East. A flawed Tennessee team without their starting point guard that Missouri beat twice, that Missouri beat in the SEC tournament, that many people were picking Louisiana to upset in the first round. And Louisiana damn near did it. They only lost by 3 to Tennessee. But Tennessee gets by Louisiana, and they handle Duke. And now you have Tennessee, a team that a lot of people thought would be 1 and done, or certainly 2 and done. And here they are in the Sweet 16. And so either FAU or Tennessee will be in the Elite 8 in the East to face the winner of K-State and Michigan State. I had Marquette in this bracket going all the way. And Marquette, I thought, would have been a bad matchup for K-State. But Michigan State eliminates Marquette. It's not a bad matchup if somebody else eliminates a team for you. Michigan State beats Marquette 69-60. And so now, K-State, to get to the Final Four, they have to beat Michigan State. And I'm sure that Tom Izzo will have a great game plan, and it won't be easy. But you got to favor K-State, the 3 seed against the 7 seed. And then they'll take on the winner of FAU. And they're a good team. They won 31 games in the regular season. They were 31-3. So don't sleep on them. But Tennessee, I did not think would be there. I did not think Tennessee would be there. And I thought they were overseeded at 4. I thought they should have been a 5. But here we are. Kansas State versus Michigan State, and the winner plays FAU and Tennessee, and that winner goes to the Final Four. So it is opened up for Kansas State. No Purdue, and no Marquette, and no Duke, and they took care of Kentucky. So there it is. That is, it's right there on a golden platter for Kansas State. So Kansas State fans have to feel great right now about their chances of winning against Michigan State. And then, I mean, they'd be favored over either FAU or Tennessee for sure. In my opinion, they're a better team than either one of those. And so, I mean, we very well next Monday could be talking about K-State going to the Final Four in Jerome Tang's first season, which would be unbelievable. As far as the rest of the brackets, Mizzou got a win, and then they got hammered by Princeton. That was never a game, except for like for the opening few minutes. Mizzou had not lost to a team that they should have beat. They didn't have any, you know, quad two or quad three losses all year long. All their losses were in quad one, and so that at least gave you some hope that they would be able to beat Princeton and advance to the Sweet 16 to take on Creighton. But it was not to be, because Princeton outplayed them. Princeton, I mean, that's one of those games where you watch it and you think, well, they were outcoached, they were outplayed, They were out hustled. They were out everything. And that's disappointing. And I know that a lot of Mizzou fans were super pissed off. I saw a couple of people post or tweet, "Oh, this is the worst loss in Mizzou basketball history." And my reply was, "What are you 10 years old? Are you crazy? No, it's not the worst loss in Mizzou basketball history. It's a bad loss because, and look, it doesn't have to be either or to me. You can say that this first season under Dennis Gates was a wild success. They finished in the top four in the SEC, made it to the SEC semifinals for the first time, and then won their first NCAA tournament game in 13 years. If you just say all that, then you have to agree. If you're not a Mizzou fan, you don't care. And so, and I don't care what you think about it. And so if you're a Mizzou fan, and you would have been told those things would be accomplished, win 25 games, get a double bye in the SEC tournament, make it to the semifinals, win an NCAA tournament game for the first time in almost a decade and a half, you know, split with Arkansas, beat Illinois, beat Kentucky, all those things. Wild success. So it's okay. It can be true to say that. And it is true to say that. Because all those things are facts. But you could it can also be true that that was a unbelievably disappointing loss. And they wasted a golden opportunity to advance to the Sweet 16 for the first time in 14 years. Because you could be, I mean, they could have really good teams over the next 5 years and not get to that point again and lose in the first round or go up against a team that's a two seed or a three seed or a one seed in the second round. And never, they could go several seasons, they could go a long time with never having a better opportunity to make the Sweet 16 that they had, the gift that was given to them by Princeton upsetting Arizona. And so it was all right there for them. You beat Princeton, a 15 seed, and then you're heading to Louisville to take on Creighton in the Sweet 16. Couldn't get it done. And so you could be bitterly disappointed and say Mizzou came out flat, they weren't prepared, they didn't play well, they didn't match the intensity of Princeton. All those things can be true, and you could say you're not happy with Dennis Gates' performance in that game, or anyone's performance in that game. And that could all be true, and at the same time, the season was a wild success for Dennis Gates. Although it doesn't have to be either or. It doesn't have to be, oh, they lost that game, so this means the season sucks, and he sucks, and the season accomplished nothing. No. And Gabe Yarman put it very well, I thought. The next day he tweeted out and mentioned on PowerMizzou.com, do you care if you're a Mizzou fan, and this will define whether or not it was a success, do you care more about Mizzou basketball right now than you did this time last year when Dennis Gates was hired based on what he took over? Were you re-engaged in Mizzou basketball? Did he bring you back in? Every time you're out, he pulls you back in. Do you care more about Mizzou basketball than you did 12 months ago? The answer is yes. Yeah. They hadn't won a freaking tournament game in 13 years. And he got them over that hump. And again, that's awesome. That's great. And so I can compartmentalize and say that was a terrific success. Well done. And Dennis Gates made me care more about Mizzou basketball again. And I can also say that was a horrible effort. They got de-pantsed by Princeton. And you also, and we focus on Mizzou did this bad, Mizzou did this that bad. Credit Princeton. They were unbelievable. They were incredible. And what I want to know is, I want to see these eight teams beat them after they just rolled through Arizona and Mizzou. How in the hell did they? They lost to Brown. They lost to Harvard. How in the hell did they lose any of these games? This team looked like they could compete in any major conference watching that damn game. I mean, they were. It was, if you like basketball, if you love basketball, it was a joy to watch Princeton. It wasn't a joy for me to watch them during the game because they were beating the hell out of Missouri. But just the way they played basketball, the way they passed the ball, what a magnificent passing team, and the way they shot the basketball, lights out, incredible. And when they had to be physical, they were more physical than Mizzou down low. And so they exposed all of Mizzou's weaknesses. Mizzou picked a terrible time to play their worst game. They couldn't hit a shot. Princeton deserves all the credit. Mizzou pissed away a golden opportunity, but they still had a successful season. They got Mizzou basketball on the map. That's all true. Now we go to Kansas. And I told you what was going to happen. During that game or after that game, Kansas fans, if they didn't have it already, I don't know why they would have had it, but you would develop a very, very strong dislike for the Arkansas head basketball coach, Eric Musselman. I told you that. Nobody wanted to listen to me. Nate doesn't want to listen to me. I told him, I said, you're going to have some strong opinions about this guy when this game's over. Get ready for this experience. Oh, it'll be fun. Yeah. I'm going to suggest to you that it wasn't as fun playing against him and that team as you thought it might have been. When he ripped his shirt off in front of the Arkansas section, student section or whatever, and was going crazy. Anyone else? Oh, look at that. It's really cool. Oh, look at this coach. He gets it. That's fun. When it's your team he just beat, it ain't so fun. And he looks like a big a-hole out there. And you're mad. And I don't want to hear anything to the opposite of that because I'm looking on. Boy, were Kansas fans pissed off at this guy. And I will say this. I'm surrounded by Kansas fans here, right?
Yep.
I get a pretty good sampling, right?
Yeah.
Kansas fans do not like when people celebrate after they beat them. They don't like the way they celebrate. Oh, they storm the court. You believe that? How dare they storm the court? Why would you? This guy took his shirt off.
Well, they're still mad that Marcus Smart backflipped.
Yeah, right,
you know,
right. I mean, there's
the Florida Allen Fieldhouse.
You know, there is. You, if you beat Kansas, you got to act a certain way, or you will set them off. But let me suggest to you, nobody likes the way Eric Musselman celebrates after he beats your team. He's a hell of a coach. That's a very good basketball team, and like I told you, when these brackets came out, Illinois wasn't a problem to me. I just said Arkansas played inconsistent. You know, they didn't have Nick Smith down the street. I said that's not an 8 seed.
Mm-mm.
It's not an 8. It's not. It is, but it ain't. Because you'll play them. How is this an 8 seed? And it's okay to get a little pissed off at this guy, right? Did you like it? I mean, we should. Oh, look at him. This is fantastic.
I confess, I didn't see it live. Like, I didn't see him taking his shirt off live. So by the time I saw it, I was kind of chuckling at it.
I mean, you had Lightfoot, all these guys. Yeah. Scott Pollard, all the ex-players. Our coach would never do that.
Well.
You know.
That's probably.
Well, I mean, who? I mean,
yeah,
what
but
coach?
So, like, but does that make it wrong?
I don't know. That just shows what it means to be Kansas. That was their Final Four. That was their championship. Whatever. And I don't care. If you don't like it, fine. I'm with you. But I told you wouldn't like it. I told you this guy was going to get under your skin.
Right.
Right? And he is in. Yeah. He got under the skin.
Yeah.
Because my Twitter was flooded with just nothing but pictures of him, videos of him, and reactions to him. Go through it. I didn't see anyone like, oh, yeah, hey, you know what, good game. You know, nice physique, whatever. Right? I told you it was going to be experience watching this guy, right?
That's definitely true.
Right?
Yeah.
He is not running for the, he wants the spotlight on him, especially after they win. Look at me, everyone. But they won. To the victor goes the spoils.
I'm reading Mitch Lightfoot's tweet.
Which one?
Great game by Arkansas. Congratulations on the win. Proud of our guys fighting through adversity all year. That being said, my coach has never jumped on a table shirtless for a round of 32 victory.
There you go. Let me. And
that's a classic Kansas response right there.
Right. And you know what that means? That pissed Mitch Lightfoot off when he saw it. Right? It made everyone mad. I'm with you. I told you. You go up against this guy a couple times a year and he does. He has a way of doing things that will, you know, whether it's his assistant slapping the phone out of a reporter's hand.
Inadvertently
taking your shirt off. In front of, I mean, it's just...
That was inadvertent.
Like
That's
you,
right.
It's like you lose That's Arkansas. Right. Oh, I can't believe we lost. I can't stand him. I got a quote for you. We'll take a break.
Oh, boy. All right.
Oh, I got a quote for you.
Oh, boy.
Because if you don't like Arkansas, I'm going to make you not like him here after this quote. All right? We'll take a break. You got Drake in here. I jinxed Drake. Tweeted him. Texted him a little, you know, the googly peeking eyes. When Drake had a lead, and then Drake fell apart, I hope he does not mad at me.
Man.
I thought Drake was going to be, all our teams suck. Except K-State.
Marquise Noel.
K-State's going to the Final Four. I'm here to tell you that right now. All right? We'll take a break. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. So, I saw this quote. You can think whatever you want about Arkansas. But man, I saw this and I was like, what a kind of an a-hole thing to say. But I don't know, to each their own. And so did you know that some of the staff at the game, they were wearing gear from the bowl game where they beat Kansas?
I did not know that.
What do you think of that?
That's pretty good trolling.
Well done.
It's pretty good trolling.
Is it? Or no?
I mean, that picks a scab. That you know, gets under my skin a little bit.
Oh, does it?
Yeah. That was a painful memory, you know? That was a hell of a game, an incredible game that Kansas, you know, could have won. So, that's good. I respect that. That's good trolling.
Well, I get this clip, so just give me your final thoughts. I kind of wrapped up what I thought about the Mizzou loss. Your thoughts on what happened between Arkansas and Kansas?
Well, I think that was the type of game back when Bill Self originally went to the hospital and we were discussing what it all meant. If he was out, I felt like the way that you might feel it the most is in a really close game, because I think Bill Self is one of the greatest coaches to ever live when it comes to in-game adjustments and late-game situations. You know, Kansas is really good at winning close games. And I think that was a game where they really missed Bill Self, and that's not a knock on Norm Roberts. I think he did a really, really good job. I don't think it's a knock on any coach to say that when one of the greatest coaches to ever live is missing, it hurts the team. And I thought we saw it in that game. But I also thought the biggest weakness Kansas had all year was their bench. They just didn't have a bench this year like they did last year. And obviously that bench made a huge difference, especially with Remy Martin coming off the bench in the NCAA tournament for them to get to the final and win it. And so when guys got in foul trouble, particularly KJ Adams, it was a big drop-off. And, you know, that hurt Kansas a lot. I think that late-game situations hurt them. I think there was a call that could have gone either way. The tie game at 67-67, they called the foul against Kevin McCullough. It could have been a charge, in my opinion. But it also, I saw a lot of people say, that's a block every day, and it's not even close. So, you know,
every day.
I think those are 50-50 calls. A lot of times it goes the other way. Kansas gets the foul call there, and I think they got a great chance of winning the game, but they didn't. So it was a one-point game, and they lost.
So Harold Kuntz, friend of the show, tweeted out a picture of one of the staffers. There you see.
Mm-hmm.
And said, some Arkansas staffers wearing Liberty Bowl pullovers. You know.
He said,
this is in the FWIW, for what it's worth, department. And so then after the game, let's want your reaction to this.
Okay.
Harold Kuntz, a respected journalist. If he tweeted out, you believe it, right?
Yeah.
Thank you. One of the staffers wearing these told me afterward, if Kansas wants us to end their season in any other sport, call us. I'm going to need your immediate response to that. Because, like, I even saw, I go, ooh. Welcome. And I texted, I said, welcome to hating Arkansas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Join the club.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I guess my response would be, if anyone on the Arkansas staff wants to know what it feels like to actually win a national championship, call us. Celebrating around a 32 win quite heavily, you know?
I'm just showing you, so you're not, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey. Good for them. You know, they
I could tell it makes you a little bit mad.
Well, hell yeah. Yeah.
You don't like that?
No, would you?
Well, I don't like Arkansas. So no, I don't.
That makes it easy not to like.
But that's to be expected. The shirt off, all this stuff, that's what they do.
Well, yeah, like a mid-tier bowl game between two teams that are unranked. You know, they're going to celebrate that for a long, long time. And then a round of 32 win. They can celebrate that for a long, long time. You know, that's they did win a national championship a long time ago. You know, what was that, 25, 30 years ago now almost?
Right.
So they do, their school knows something about it. I don't know if anybody on that staff knows anything about it.
Now, see, as an outside observer, I hear Kansas fans saying, why are you wearing that shirt? Why are you taking that shirt off? That's what I hear.
Yeah.
Look, you're asking me for a response.
Right, that's
even,
right.
You know,
I got no one else to ask here.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm trying to think. I'm just looking here to see if any of these staffers have sniffed a national title.
But does that, I mean, that irritates you that they said that?
Yeah, yeah.
Does the shirt off thing bother you?
No, I think that's pretty fun. I think that's pretty fun. You know what? I mean, celebrate. Your fans like it. I mean, first of all, Eric Musselman's job is not to make Kansas fans like him. It's to make Arkansas fans like
him. They love him.
You know?
You know.
So that's his job. I don't begrudge him that at all. Now, taking shots at the other team after you beat them, you know, okay, all right. Keith Smart's on it. Oh, Keith Smart's on the staff.
Shut your mouth quick.
He knows about winning a national title. All right.
All right.
If he's the one that said it, then I can't. My clever comeback doesn't work.
Yeah. It was a staffer. I don't know.
Yeah.
Could have been the Dobo. I don't have no idea who it was. Somebody. All right, we'll take a break back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I lost one of my Final Four now. Marquette's out. I still got, or do I? Drake, how many of your Final Four are still alive?
I think two.
All right.
I got three in my four. I lost Marquette.
I lost Marquette. I know you'd pick him. I would not have picked him.
I had Arizona. Lost them early.
I got, on one side, I'm still alive. I got Houston and Gonzaga. That's alive and kicking. And then I got Alabama and Marquette. It will not be Marquette. I believe now it will be Alabama and K-State, a rematch of the Sugar Bowl. And then in my national championship game, that's still alive. I have Alabama and Houston. With Bama winning it all.
You and I have the same Final Four. That's a problem.
Well, you copy. I want to play a couple of clips here first. And by the way, before we get into this, we were talking about K-State's victory over Kentucky that has now put them into a wonderful situation where it looks like they're going to be the favorites to go to the Final Four now. Out of the East as they head to Madison Square Garden for the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight. But 75-69 over Kentucky. And what a freaking performance by Marquise Noel. 27 points, 10 of 11 from the free throw line, 9 assists, 3 steals. Just unbelievable in his 40 minutes. And so here is Play that first John Calipari where he, yeah, this is how he described that performance from Noel. Come on, John, you could do it.
Fight like crazy and then had a couple guys offensively not play their game the way they played all year, but that stuff happens in this tournament, and we did a pretty good job on Johnson, and he makes that three. And the little kid makes the three. How he you know, make a deep three. We miss a couple, and all of a sudden it gets out of hand. But these kids fought. They never stopped. I mean, these two, Oscar was, again, did some special stuff. We had some guys really fight like crazy. And
so there are some people that are not happy that he called him a little neat. The little kid makes a three. Whatever.
That's one of the things I love so much about Marquise Noel. 5'8", and he's out there scoring 17 a game this season and putting up 27 in a big tournament game. He doesn't 9 assists. He's little.
From Harlem, and now he's headed home to playing Madison Square Garden. How about that?
Man, I'm telling you, one of my biggest memories this year, going down to the Big 12 media days, before the season started, K-State finished dead last, and I did an interview with Marquise Noel. I found him, first of all, to be incredibly likable, just like really, really positive energy type of guy. Big smile on his face, friendly to do an interview with, but very confident. And I remember asking, hey, what are your goals this year? You know, first year coach. Tough year last year, a lot of new guys on the team, and he said, our goal is to win the Big 12, and we think we can do it. And he wasn't he was very serious about that. And I remember thinking at the time, I mean, you're picked to finish last, you know? And they didn't win the Big 12, but they might be going to the Final Four, and obviously they had a really, really good season, and he was a huge part of it. And, you know, when you're a guy that's a little man in a big man's game, because that's the thing, it's a big man's game. You know, basketball is for the tall people. So when you're 5'8", and you want to play in that game, you kind of have to believe you're capable of things that nobody else believes you're capable of. And look at him, man. Look at him go. What a performance.
And like you said, now they go to New York, and I think based on the matchups, I think they have a hell of a chance to go to the Final Four. All right, here is after Mizzou's loss to Princeton, where they were spanked, but here is Dennis Gates after the game as he was with some of his players reflecting on their final game in a Mizzou uniform.
What they've been able to do together is 20 years from now, we'll look back. 10 years from now, we'll look back. 5 years from now, we'll look back and see how important it was.
I just want to be remembered as a group of guys who just loved each other on and off the court. We were together every day at the crib, in the gym, obviously. And not only that, but we want to be known as, like, the stepping stone for Coach. Coach, obviously, it's his first year. We wanted to create the culture here, and now the teams that come will follow us.
I'll piggyback on what Ben said. As building the culture, going to Mizzou was not a hard decision for me, especially playing for Coach Gibbs at Cleveland State, but that's building the foundation of what we know he can be and what his goals are was really good, and the Mizzou fans are backing us and having faith in us to come in here and do what we do. It means a lot for the Columbia community. I thank them for embracing me and my team. So I appreciate Mizzou for that.
In the same thing, just laying the foundation, building that culture back in Columbia and getting those fans back involved. But just doing the things we did, and we weren't supposed to be here at all in the first place. We weren't supposed to make it to the semifinals of the SEC. So I mean, at the end of the day, we lost today, but we have a lot to be proud of, so I'll say that.
All right, I've got a few clips from Jerome Tang that we can play. You want to take a break first, Drake? Take a break, Drake. I like that. That rhymes. Mm. We'll take a break. We hear some clips from Jerome Tang after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the show. K-State headed to the Sweet 16 to take on Michigan State. Here is a couple of clips from their head coach, Jerome Tang. This was fun. As you saw, they had a inbounds play that looked like a bubble screen, looked like a football play. And here, Jerome Tang was asked about that play after the game.
On that inbounds play in the final minute when a bunch of guys were on the line, like, can you walk us through that?
No, because then the other team will know next time we have to use it.
but actually, it came from Baylor, right?
Yeah, well, we like stole it from somebody else, and so yeah. But yes, yeah, we have our own. We actually call it Mahomes for Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback for the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. You know, that's probably going to fade.
So I like that.
I like how he clarifies
right
who Patrick Mahomes is.
Good.
The Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs.
You never know what these people know and what they don't know.
Well, it never hurts to say them. It. It never hurts to remind anybody.
Just
I like that.
Remind the world who the hell
Mahomes.
He is. Right. I'm in on that.
What a job he's done this year.
Mahomes? Oh, I know. Yeah. MVP. Yeah. Super Bowl MVP.
Oh, Jerome Tang hasn't been too bad
either.
Can't
win both of those in the same year.
Yeah.
Shut up. Oh, Tang, yeah. Great
he's
year
good
also.
Job.
I was focused on Mahomes. So this next clip, Jerome Tang talks a lot about his dudes.
Yeah.
Right? And you should.
His dudes.
If you got dudes, you got dudes. Here is Jerome Tang on having more dudes than Kentucky.
Jerome, how much of a statement is this for you in your program first year? Beat a program like Kentucky and you're going to New York to play in the Sweet 16.
Well, you know, we have a program that's rich in tradition also. And the, you know, I mean, like all those old dudes that played for Kentucky, they ain't coming back, right? Like, so, I mean, tradition does not help you if you don't get out there on the floor and play with some dudes. And we had more dudes than they did today. And that's what that was.
Those old dudes ain't coming back. We have more dudes than they had today. You're talking about them old, you know.
Guys that used to play there?
Right.
Yeah.
Them old dudes ain't coming back.
Right. Anthony Davis ain't coming back.
That was funny. You better hope he didn't come back.
K-State does have a very good tradition of basketball.
I just like them taking a shot at Kentucky.
Or history.
There.
Yeah.
Those old dudes ain't coming back. They ain't going to help you now. Mm. Jamal Mashburn ain't going to come out there and help
you. Walking through that door.
Here's Jerome Tang with more about his dudes.
Dudes. We got dudes. And that's what it takes. Like, this is, I mean, people get all caught up in the coaching and all that stuff. It's dudes. You got to have players. And these dudes, they work.
See? You get all caught up in coaching, and that's not what it's about. It's about dudes. And they work.
I think coaching matters. I mean, I do think you got to have dudes. I think you got to have dudes, but coaching matters. It's nice of Jerome Tang to deflect, but if those dudes had another coach, I don't know that they'd be going to the Sweet 16 right now.
Yeah.
You know, he's done a pretty good job.
Well, he got those dudes there.
Yeah, he did. Except for Marquise Noel, you know, he was already there. He kept that dude. Sometimes that's as important.
Mm.
That was a good game to watch. That was a fun game to watch.
They're going to the Final Four.
Man, Tshiebwe was, what do you have, 27 rebounds?
What?
17 rebounds.
Boy, way to embellish
18.
Some stats. Good 18. God. What did he have, 27 rebounds?
45 rebounds, unbelievable.
What game were you watching?
Hey, 18's a lot.
Yeah, 25 points and 18. Yeah, it is, but it's not 27.
No, but hey, it's a lot. I knew he had a lot. I couldn't remember. He was. It felt like he had 27 watching
what,
the game.
What, Salvi have 70 home runs? No, 50. Well,
I'm supposed to memorize every stat? Come
what?
On,
that
man.
Was just, that was a lot. Right. Just all of a sudden, like, I think it would have shattered an NCAA tournament
it
record.
Felt like he had 27. Yeah, he had a lot.
He had 18.
He didn't get much help.
25 points, 18 boards. Yeah. I mean, Wallace had 21 and 9, but that's it. Not enough dudes, all
right? Right.
I saw a bunch of dudes yesterday at Planet Comic Con.
Did you?
Yeah.
I bet you did.
I saw one dude right there.
That dude.
Walking the Drake around with a, dude. With a bag full of comics, didn't I?
They got kind of heavy.
He was happy as a lark, just walking there through a bunch of comics. We were walking through the celebrity section. We were preparing for Phil's photo op with Giancarlo Esposito. So we're very excited. Phil's very excited about that.
You sent us some good pictures yesterday.
Yeah, I tried to, you know.
We both had a pretty good experience doing some people watching this weekend.
I'm going to guess that when it comes to people watching, I won.
Probably.
Yesterday.
Probably.
There was a lot. It filled the senses. What was the best thing you saw, Drake? Or the worst? It didn't have to be the, you know, just what was it?
There's a lady that's there every year that I just am kind of fascinated with. She has an emotional support miniature horse.
Yeah.
She's there every year, and this little horse just follows her everywhere and just stands right next to her.
Why didn't I see that little horse? I'd have loved to see that.
I got a picture somewhere. And she's there every year, and it's just horse. You know, this horse, it's like if you didn't, you'd never know it was there if you didn't, like, see it, because it doesn't, it's just so still and calm. I need an emotional support miniature horse.
Right. That sounds great. I saw a lot of stuff. I didn't see that. But it was, yeah, we'll see. 1:30, 1:30. We were about 4 hours. How long were you there for yesterday?
I was there about 2 hours on Saturday and about 4 on Sunday. Yeah,
we drove down there, right? And we're gonna get off the highway on Broadway. I'm gonna come around and then, you know, because when you go to an event downtown, park at the President. Easy in, easy out. Plenty of parking. Not only can you stay there, you can park there. There was like, I don't know, at least like a half a mile back up on, you know, just to get off on Broadway where traffic was at a standstill. And you'd have thought, like, am I going to a Chiefs playoff game or am I going to Planet Comic Con? And I was like, there ain't no way this is all for play. And it was. It was stunning. And you said there was a record there on Saturday for people?
Yeah, somebody was telling me that Saturday they thought they had the most attended day of Planet Comic-Con they'd ever had. So
it was packed on Sunday, record. Man. That thing was crazy. I saw a bunch of people listening to the show that came up and said hello. They're awesome. Awesome listeners out there dressed up in different characters. Like, oh, yeah. You do look like a Border Patrol listener, don't you? We didn't dress up, but we had fun, man. It was a blast. It was a lot. It was an overload.
I'd like to go to that someday.
I don't know. I don't know why. That's all the science fiction and Star Wars and stuff you like. I don't know why you haven't gone there. I feel like you'd love that.
Yeah, I think I would.
You'd fit right in. Like, I love it. It's fine. Yeah. Like, I don't. Like, there's nothing specific. Like, I like going to see different celebrities. I get a kick out of that.
Yeah.
But I just like going because, like, my kids are all happy and bouncing around and having fun. That was Susan's first time, and I think it was overwhelming for her. She wasn't sure how to, because your first time, you're like, hey, what's going on here? What's happening?
I guess Shane's youngest daughter was a little freaked out by a couple of the costumes.
Yes.
Yesterday morning woke up and said, Daddy, please don't take me back there.
She's like, you're going anyway, I don't care. I bought the 3-day pass. No, it can be. You gotta, I feel like you gotta ease your way into this.
Yeah.
But. Oh, yeah.
You're be overwhelming?
Oh, yeah. There's like, I mean, I don't know. You'd have fun. Your family would have
yeah.
fun.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'd like to go.
A lot of photo ops.
But I was out of town.
Yeah. But, I mean, at some point, go, man. Yeah. It's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, coming up on the show, we'll talk to Todd Lebo. We'll get his reaction to Missouri losing, Kansas losing, and Kansas State beating Kentucky and now in great shape to advance to the Final Four. They had some football moves that irritated me. Houston did the old double screw you, Chiefs. Oh, can the Chiefs trade for Laremy Tunsil still? No, we're going to sign him to an extension. Oh, can the Chiefs trade for Brandon Cooks for a speedy wide receiving option? No, we're going to trade him to Dallas. And so two players that I think some Chiefs fans were maybe crossing their fingers that could end up in Kansas City. The answer to those two questions, no. And so now the talk is the Chiefs are one of the teams that are most interested in Odell Beckham Jr. So this soap opera might still happen. Oh, boy. We'll take a break. Back into this on WHB.